I'm going to be jumping all over the Bible this morning, but I really want to just unpack a few thoughts because I need to remind myself and us as a church every now and then that actually we're at war. Christianity is not a cruise liner, it's actually a battleship. And we are in a constant state of war, not against people, but against principalities and powers. And I just want to try and encourage you this morning and just to bring a few thoughts. And this subject is so vast and lots of people have got different ideas of things. And I just want to try and just bring some thoughts and ideas and bring some things from the Bible that may encourage you and may help you as we continue to fight the good fight, as it were, and walk the walk that God's got for us. I was talking to somebody a few days ago, and we were asking about why they use the term storms happen in our lives. And I says, well, why wouldn't they? And he said, but I thought because I'm a Christian, it wouldn't happen. I says, because you are a Christian, it should happen. Now, none of us like the storms, but let's just face it, it's usually in the storm we feel the closest to God. It's usually in the storm we're more focused on God. Yet the storm is not something we often run towards, it's something we fight against. I'm going to start off with a verse in Corinthians, just to put a bit of an outline. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 2 says this. This is Paul talking. He's just been talking about the things that he's gone through. And in verse 1, it says, I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether it was in the body or out of the body, God knows. Now, often people read that and then get into the idea of, was it in the body, out of the body, was it Paul, was it not Paul? But lay that aside, it's the thing that he says, he was caught up to the third heaven. Now, putting it simplistically, Paul looked at things in three heavens, and there is three heavens for us, isn't it? I'm not talking about heaven when we die and that sort of thing, but there's three heavenly realms. There's heaven that is God's throne, his area. You read that in Revelation, four living creatures, 24 elders, angels everywhere, and what God says goes there. There's no sin, there's no evilness, there's nothing there. It's just holiness. There's what we call the third heaven, so that's the first one, the top one. He called it the third heaven because he did it in reverse, but I put God first. The third heaven would be our skies, the thing, the air outside, the atmosphere. It could almost go into our solar system and even beyond that, what we see physically. And then the second heaven, so I've gone, the first one's God's throne, the third one is what we see, and the second one, which is technically in between, is the unseen spiritual realm. So it's not the physical that we see, the planets. It's not God's throne room. It's a bit in between. If you read in Job, in Job chapter 1, it talks about that the angels presented themselves before God and Satan was amongst them. And he said, where have you been? He said, I've been roaming to and fro across the earth. Now, he's not roaming to and fro in his Cortina or Volvo or his Mercedes or whatever. It's a spiritual thing. It's going to and fro across the earth, you know, he's here, but we don't see him. The problem is that because we don't see that sort of realm, we often are not usually aware that there's actually a fight on, but it's not so much in the physical, it's in the spiritual. God's throne's up there and God's in charge. We're down here and God give us authority, but in between us is a whole realm. Yet they're all connected. They're not independent of each other, they're all connected. So if you're still in your Bible, if you want to jump over to Ephesians 6, now this is often the ones given to us. Ephesians 6, verse 10, it says this, finally, it's an awkward one to start with, finally, isn't it? It's like, therefore. You've really got to read chapters 1, 2, and 3 to find out who you are in Christ. 4 and 5 and part of 6 to find out about your conduct and my conduct. And then we get into, and finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. He's not telling us to be strong in our mighty power, but to be strong in his mighty power. And then he says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Underline it if you've got a paper Bible, the devil's schemes. Just put that one and keep that in mind. And then he says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Underline that a little bit. Because who do you have trouble with? Now, don't name anybody and don't look across to anybody. But the people, so the trouble that's often caused in our life, if we've not messed up ourselves, is usually because of somebody else. Somebody else. And yet, Paul's just said in it, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. So we need to keep that in mind. Our struggle is not against people, persons. It's not against, you know, the next Tory leader or the Labour leader or anybody else. It's not against a person per se. But he says what it is. He says it's not against flesh and blood, but it is against rulers. Don't mean our government rulers, but rulers against authorities, against powers of darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil that are in the heavenly realms, in that second heaven. So in that second heaven, there's all these, he calls them rulers, authorities, powers of darkness, and against spiritual forces of evil in spiritual realms. Now in that area, there's angels, there's fallen angels, there's demons. Some people think the fallen angels are the demons, but different people have different ideas of that. It's worth checking out if you've nothing else to do. There's so much more you could be checking out, though, instead of getting into all that stuff. But our struggles are not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. It's against principalities and powers. But the problem is that I read a book, or I was given a book and I read it. You know, some people give you a book, say, here, read that. And you kind of say thank you, put it on your shelf, and hope you find somebody else to pass it on to. Or read the outline and give them it back. But this was called Needless Casualties of War, which were interesting when he gave me that because he'd fallen out with me when he gave me it. So I'm thinking, it's a book about how Christians hurt other Christians and that we should love one another and all that stuff. But actually, when I read about it, into it, it wasn't about that. It was talking about how Christians go to battle against the evil forces and come out as casualties, when the Bible talks about how we should be overcomers, we should rise up. So you have to think about really what we're going on. And he makes this illustration that often our prayer life, our intercessory life, is like us throwing hatchets or axes at the moon. And it just lands a few meters ahead of us, or feet in old money. So our prayer life, our prayers, our intercessory, our battles are often like picking up an axe and throwing it at the moon and it just lands just ahead of us. He's not saying our prayers are not important, but what he's saying is that often we don't realise what we're up against and we don't often realise about what we've got. People often think as long as you can stand on an hillside and look like Gandalf from Lord of the Rings, I had to mention that because our New Zealand friends are here where they filmed Lord of the Rings. If we think we can stand there and we can raise our Bible and our cross and you may not pass, we think that's all right. And the devil chews us up and spits us out. Because we don't realise what authority we have got and what authority we don't have. I do believe there's times where we can stand and we can stand our ground. In fact, in Ephesians, it said stand 3 times and it said fight once. So we've got to do more standing than fighting. But it's not about standing on hillsides and shouting and bawling. It's about taking the word of God, saying prayers of faith and standing our ground when it comes. And I've said this illustration a number of times, that when you're in warfare, especially in the Roman soldiers' times, the Roman soldier would just press against his shield. He would stand while the enemy was up against him. And when the enemy backed off a bit, then they'd move forward. They weren't wasting time trying to push. They would stand their ground, and when the enemy backed up an inch, they would move forward an inch. They'd have the shield in front of them, the sword down the side poking out. And as the enemy came against the sword, they would fall, and often they would then just step forward. They didn't run ahead, they didn't scream and shout. They kept their heads down and just kept going. Now, there's an interesting couple of two parts of the Bible when it comes to speaking into the spiritual realm. Peter says this, 2 Peter 2, verse 10 and 11. It says it's talking about people who bad mouth or scream and shout, and it's actually talking about people who criticize celestial beings. It says, this is especially true for those who follow the corrupt desires of the flesh and despise authority. Bold and arrogant, they are not afraid to heap abuse on celestial beings. They're having a go at God and angels and stuff like that. Yet even the angels, although they are stronger and most powerful, do not heap abuse on such beings and when bringing judgment on them from the Lord. So what Peter's saying, that there's some people shout and bawl into the spiritual realm, but he said even angels don't run around making accusations against the fallen angels. They don't do that. He says, they don't, even though they're more powerful and more stronger than we are, they don't do it. And Jude puts it like this. He says, but even the archangel Michael, when disputing with the devil about Moses' body, I mean, just that's another subject altogether, did not himself dare condemn him for a slander, but said, the Lord rebuke you. So even Michael, when he was having a go at the devil or fighting with the devil, we're not quite sure when this took place, what was going on. Jude's the only one that writes this down, didn't actually raise a slanderous accusation against the devil. But he said, the Lord rebuke you. You see, in the heavenly realms, if it's on this planet, if it's here, if a demon is possessing somebody, we have authority in the word of God, by the call of God, to cast that demon out. Because it's in our realm. Our spiritual thing. If a sickness, we can say, be healed in the name of Jesus. We can cast out the demons, raise the dead, heal the sick. We can proclaim the good news. We can stand. But when it comes to the next realm, when it comes to principalities and authorities, what we do then is go to the Lord, pray about it, and ask him to rebuke it. Now, someone's quickly going to say, well, if we bind anything in heaven, it's bound. If we loose it in earth, it's loose or whatever. And we go through that. Guys, as no spirit-filled, on-fire person since Jesus ascended to heaven, come up with the idea of binding the devil. I think nearly every generation has had thousands of people going, I bind the devil. Well, he's not that bound. So there's something wrong in that equation. I bind him. I stand against him. He's still loose. Because we're shouting into a foreign area when God says, you talk to me and I'll bind him. You talk to me and you pray. See, when something presents itself in front of you, you have authority. But I couldn't go knock on, you know, Parliament's doors, go in there and say, I stand in the name of Jesus and blah, blah, you're all Satanists or whatever. Actually, most of them are probably quite good doing what they think's best. Some are probably not so good and some are probably really good. It depends. But I can go to prayer, or we can go to prayer and pray into the spiritual realm, asking the Lord to do something. See, Michael says to the devil, the Lord rebuke you. He didn't go after him himself. Even though it does say in one afternoon or one evening, an angel of the Lord went out and killed 180,000 people. You see, we think our battles, our fights against people, but it's not. It's against principalities and powers. But it's knowing what weapons we have and how we can take a stand. If you carry on in Ephesians 6, it says, in addition to this, take up a shield of faith, which you can extinguish all flaming arrows of the evil one. I've been thinking about that. It says, and you can challenge me on this, it says, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows from the evil one. All of them. So if one gets through, is that my fault? Because it says, take up the shield, and it will extinguish all the flaming arrows. So if someone gets through, then I need to check my faith. I need to check where I'm standing on. I need to check certain stuff. Because it says it will extinguish any flaming arrows come in. And then verse 18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So Paul's saying, take up the armor to take your stand. And when you've got the faith in front of you and you've got your sword in your hand, the word of God, and then it says, and then pray. Because we've got the word of God. We've got the faith. We're marching forward. But then he says, pray on all occasions with all kinds of prayer. Do you know there's more than one kind of prayer? There's more than one kind. Well, I thought praying, we're just talking to God. Yes. But that's so simplistic. It's kind of like saying, you know, everyone speaks, it's just a normal language. English. Everyone speaks English. When you get into different countries, English is not always English. Besides missing U's out of half the letters, half of the word. You go to America and they call it English, but it's not the English we speak. But even go to London, it's not even English we speak. Now, Yorkshire is God's chosen land. And I think it's not Queen's English. This is the language God gave us. That's all right for somebody who's, you know, never learnt French or anything like that. But we should pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers. Some of our prayers are encouragement prayers. We pray with people, we stand with people, we encourage them with our prayers. We pray to Jesus because we've got things that's heavy on our hearts. There's prayers of warfare when we go to God and say, God, please, can you just do something about what's going on? You know, bring Brexit, don't bring Brexit. I think God must be really confused. I mean, putting things aside, I think half at church is saying, Lord, give us a good Brexit. We're half at church and get us out of Europe. I mean, God's going to do what God does because it's part of his end time plan. So we need to get to tune what God wants and not what we just want and just stand there. But anyway, pray in all different, with all different prayers. And it says, with this in mind, with what in mind? With all these prayers and the armor of God, be alert. And always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Be alert. Be alert. That's why the Bible says, you know, don't drink too much because you're not alert. You know, don't be taking rubbish because you're not alert. Don't stop up half the night watching telly because you're not alert the next day. Be alert. Why? Because we're in a war. Why is it we always, when we're at our weakest, we always seem to get attacked? Because the devil or his schemes and minions are always alert. And when you're not alert, that's the best time to come. You know, if someone's going to rob your house, they're going to wait while you leave. Because you're not alert. Unless you've got the doorbell that can ring and you can see them, hi, and all that stuff. But anyway, let's move on. Because I've got tons to go through and we'll see. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5. It says, well, this is it. I says to you, but our fight is not against flesh and blood. We need to remember that once we were those people. These people that we think are having a go. Now, let's face it, some people are downright nasty. Okay, some people. Some people are. Some people are awful. Some people are satanic. Some people are just so nasty. But majority of people are just trying to get on with life. Majority of people are not having a go at us or you or me because of God. They're just trying to get on with life. You know, if you park your car outside somebody's house continuously, that gets them annoyed. Not because God's with you, it's because you park your car there. If you let your dog, and I know most people don't have dogs, but if you had a dog and you let it poo in somebody's garden, that would annoy them. It's not a spiritual battle going on. It's just called common sense. And yet sometimes as Christians, we've got this persecuted attitude where everybody's against us. They're not against us. Most of them just can't be bothered with us. Kirklees Council is not against us. They're just understaffed and can't be bothered. You know, if you give peanuts, you get, you know, pet monkeys peanuts or something. They're not against us. They're just can't be bothered. Now, there might be some that are, but majority of them are just trying to get on with life. And we've got to remember that Paul says this, although we live in the world, Paul says this, although we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power for demolishing strongholds. Verse 5, the biggest stronghold for any one of us is actually in our head, between our ears. It says, on the contrary, they have, vis-a-vis divine, these weapons that we have got divine power to demolish strongholds. Most of the problems we have are because of strongholds in our own head. It's not because of people, it could be, it's because of the strongholds that are in our head. And then it continues, it says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. One of the reasons maybe not you guys, but maybe me, gets into trouble is because I've not taken every thought captive. The reason sometimes I look out at you and think, I wonder what they're thinking. And I can let that thought run. The Bible's falling to bits. And I can get it going. I can walk out of this place sometimes thinking, you all love me. I still do think, I think you all love me. I really do. And I don't care if that's a lie or not. I think you love me. And I'm going to keep saying you love me regardless. But if I live life thinking you hate me, you hate me. And I walk through there and there's no buns left because you've all eaten them. You hate me. There's no milk because you hate me. You see how mad it can get. But the person who lets their dog poo on your path outside doesn't hate you. It's just his dog likes that spot. When we first got our dog, you know, we used to take it for a walk, and Ethan used to take the dog, and he would run down the street with the dog, because when he got to his certain arms, he would drop it there. So he'll just run straight past the house, dragging the dog. Why? Because a dog liked that spot for some silly reason. Don't look at me like that. You all like your own toilets, don't you? You do. Like to be at home. You'd rather wait. Not go here. Sneak off home. Because you've got your favourite spots, haven't you? Oh, anyway, it demolishes everything. These guys are going to go, I'm off back to New Zealand, see you later. So we take every thought captive. The Bible says this in Proverbs, King James Version. It says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If you think somebody's against you, that's where you respond to them. If you think the world's against you, you'll become against the world. Instead of going, you know what, God loves these people, God cares for these people, God wants me to shine the light, and yes, it might come against you, because we are in a battle, but as you think in your heart, so you'll be. Our weapons are the word of God, and it's our prayer life. People are not our enemies. They're just trying to get, some are. Some people are downright nasty, but most people are just trying to get on. Hurting people who have no hope, take it out on other people. And guess what? We're the people that take it out on. 80% of the people in the world that are persecuted because of religious leanings and persuasions are Christians. And out of most of those, taking aside most of the world where they're getting really persecuted, the rest of the West part of the world, it's usually the Pentecostals. And sometimes I can understand why. Because some of the Pentecostals are crazy people. They're nutters. Not you guys, but some are. And we people are not our enemy. There's something behind them. It's the one that's behind them that's the enemy. If you've ever been to a pantomime, he's behind you. It's what's behind him. But it's not the enemy. You see, the devil himself is not our only enemy. There's the world that we live in, the desires, the influences, the things. People are just trying to sell things and use whatever they can. But also our own lustful heart can be our enemy. We can be our own enemy. If you look at most of our problems that we have, some of them might be the devil, some of them might be other people, but often it's because we've put our foot in it. We've done something. Or sometimes not done something when we should have done. We'd leave things, we'd let things go. But we need to remember that it was not so long ago that we were like these people, that we sometimes accuse as being our enemies. This is what Paul says in Ephesians 2, verse 1. He said, as for you, that's me as well, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. You see, people generally are only doing what's normal. My dog winds me up. I used to have a bitch years ago, a German Shepherd bitch, and I could take her around, and she'd do the odd little thing every now and then. But he just wants to wee on everything. Sniff and wee, it's all he does. I'm trying to run, and he's sniffing and weeing. But he's only doing what's natural. However, you can train a dog. So we're getting there. But people of this world are only doing what's natural to them. Because they're still under the power of sin. They're still in the kingdom of darkness. And most of them are only doing what's natural to them. Sometimes it's not intentional against you. Sometimes it is what's behind them and what's in us that they're going after. It's not me or you. It's what's in us they don't like. When I walk into a room, I'm not just the soul, you know, the greatest thing that's at that party. But Jesus walks in with me. And some people don't want Jesus in the room. When you walk in places, sometimes people have a go at you. It's not because of you. It's because you're walking with Jesus. And what their lifestyle is not really adding up to Jesus. And conviction starts to come upon them. Because in John it says, he will convict the world of sin. When you're on fire, passion for Jesus, you can change people's lives. So anyway, in which you used to live, follow the ways of the evil ruler, the kingdom of the air. The spirit who is now working in all in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived amongst them at one time, gratifying the cravings of the flesh and following the evil desires and thoughts. Like the rest, they were just by nature deserving wrath. They're just doing what's natural. We forget. These people need Jesus. These people need to be seen something better than what we've got. But verse 4 said, but because of his great love for us, amen. God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. By his grace, you have been saved. Guys, people are not generally against it. If they're having an hard time, a bad time, things are just going messy, they'll take it out on you. It used to be a case, a guy would have problems at work from his boss, he'd go home, he'd take it out on his wife would take it out on the kids would take it out on the dog would chase the cat, and the cat would sit up a tree. Sorted out. But you can't do that these days. Because if a guy comes home and takes it out on the wife just smacks him in the face now. So it's over and done with, you know what I mean? Sort that one out. Sometimes we need to remember that these people are doing, sometimes it is the devil, sometimes it's just what's natural. Ephesians 5, verse 15 says this, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity. Make the best of every situation. You know, through September, October, November, there's something we want to do as a church. We want to try and reach out into the community with events we want to put on. And I want to encourage you guys to get involved. But right at the start, even now, we're thinking about asking, well, I'm going to ask you, to pray over the next few weeks for 5 people, 4 that are local, you can go for a maverick or somebody that's at a bit of a distance, and pray for 5 people that you can put on a list. And then through July and August, you get to pray for these people. And you write these names, 5 names, on 3 lists. You have a list. You pass one of the lists to somebody else and swap. And then you bring the 3rd list to us as a church. And I think we need to get a box or something we can put the lists in. And then every Sunday we can pray over those names. So it might be your next door neighbour. It might be the guy at the shop. It might be a friend. It might be a relative. It could be anybody. Now, people often say to me, but I don't have any friends. Well, that's something you need to address. But if you have got no friends and all your relatives are dead or have moved far away, go talk to the guy in the post office. Shop. Take up the gym. Go to the gym. Do something. Pray for somebody. Guys, if you don't know somebody, whether it's a relative, a neighbour or someone, you need to really, and just don't think, well, I've tried talking to them before. Just pray and ask God, God, give me 5 people to pray for. So if there's 40 of us generally on a Sunday, you know, times that by 5, that's 200 people we'll be praying for. Out of those 200, who knows? If they all come in, it would be a shock. Not because I don't believe God can do that, but I won't know what to do with them. That would be a real big alpha course, wouldn't it? But we've got to consider the fact that the 200 people have been prayed for by us as a church and by 2 people, all of them, and we can start just engaging. And then come set. So you're going to pray for the next 2 weeks, Lord, give me 5 people. When you get your 5 people, put them on a list, and then let's swap the lists around. You know, I feel sorry for Ruth because everybody want Ruth praying for them. Because when Ruth said, I'll pray, they know she'll pray. But they'll think, I don't want to give them to so-and-so because I'm not sure they'll pray. I'm being honest. I don't know. So if everyone will come to your roof, they'll give you a list. So just swap them with lists from before. So whatever they and somebody else, I'll just swap you with that. So they go all over the place. Keep swapping, we'll go round and about. But I'm saying that because we then can engage. So let's make the use of every situation. So Ephesians 5, verse 15, be careful then in how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Well, how do you find out what the Lord's will is? Well, we've spoken Romans 12, verse 2 enough, but to remind you, it says, don't conform to the pattern of this world. Don't fight like what the world fights. And then it continues, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Strongholds in your brain again. The strongholds there. The spiritual realm is not always out there. Sometimes it's even in our head. With the renewing of your mind, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. It's good and pleasing and perfect will. So if you want to know what God's will is, don't conform to the pattern of this world. It's that too simple. Because everyone says, I don't know what God's will is. Well, get in the word of God and get before it. Our weapons are the word of God and our prayer. So are your prayers effective? Well, actually, they are. But often we don't kind of engage with what we're praying with and for. And sometimes we're praying into areas that we're not supposed to pray into, and we're not praying in where we should. You see, James says this, the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. The prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. In fact, the Amplified Version puts it this, therefore, confess your sins to one another, your false steps, your offences, and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored. I could preach on that one. The heartfelt, persistent prayers of a righteous man, a believer, can accomplish much when they're put into action and made effective by God. It is a dynamic, they can be dynamic and be a tremendously powerful. Okay, so the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. So who's a righteous man? Well, according to 2 Corinthians 5:21, says, God made him, that's Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. So if you're the righteousness of God, then therefore you're righteous in God's sight. Therefore, your prayers are powerful and effective. And therefore, you can pray for your neighbours, your relatives, and believe that your prayers are effective so you can pray. Amen. You don't look too excited. If I'm going to go for an arm wrestling competition, I'm not going to take on Sling because I saw him beat somebody. But I'm going to take on the weakest person because I know I'm stronger than him or them or her. I'll take on, I'll take Olive on. I'll take her on because I've got a good chance of winning. Why? Because I believe I'm bigger and stronger and I could win her. I won't take on maybe somebody else because they might like Daddy. He's getting mad, isn't he? I won't take on Danny. Because it looks like he's been doing at least some press-ups in the trade. He's been doing something, or he's eating really well. I'd take an Olive. But then think about it. Sometimes we don't fight spiritual battles because we don't think we can win, yet the Bible says that the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. And we are the righteous of God in Christ. In your prayers, in your speech, you are powerful and effective. Romans 5:17 says, if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive the abundance provision of grace, hey, that's us who have got saved, and the gift of righteousness, yes, I'm a righteous of God in Christ, reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. The world is not against us. It's not for us sometimes neither. But we are in a war. But our warfare is different. But we're supposed to reign in life. We're supposed to stand there. See, we can reign in life. You know what? You can reign in life. Let me ask, how can we reign in life? Or what makes it possible for us to reign in life? In Hebrews 2, it says this. It has been testified somewhere. Sam, if you can never remember what Bible says something, even the writer of Hebrews says, it has been testified somewhere. So that's it, Bible, so we're pretty cool about that. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything into subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection under his feet, you left nothing outside of his control. At the present time, we have not seen everything being put under his feet, but we see him who is a little lower, who has been made a little lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of his suffering and his death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. So Jesus, God Almighty, was made or became a little lower than the angels. Now, if you read Psalm 8, that's where the quote's from. So I know something the guy there didn't know. It's because I've got a concordance and it's in the notes at the side, so I'm not that big-headed. But David's talking about himself. He says, when I look out and see the splendor of the stars and the planets are all out there, and I see the finger of God putting everything out there, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? He's talking about human beings. So Jesus became a man. He left the throne in heaven. He was made a little lower than the angels. And he came and he died on the cross. Where's Jesus now? Not a rhetorical question. Where's Jesus now? Right hand of God, yes. The Spirit of God's living in us. It's not a little Jesus. It's the Spirit of God living inside us, the Spirit of Jesus. They're all one, yet they've got the distinct things. But he's now at the right hand of the Father in heaven, isn't he? So he came a little lower than the angels to earth. He died. He was buried. He was resurrected. Pop, we've read some of that this morning. Then he ascended to the right hand of the Father. He's up there now. And he's doing good. He's doing great. He's interceding for me and for you. And I think that's really good. But he's there. He says this in the Bible. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive even when we were dead in our transgressions. By grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So where's Jesus? Right hand of God. It says that when we get saved, we are seated with Christ in heavenly realms. Well, I'm here. Remember the three heavens? God's heaven, our heaven. God sees us already there. God sees us with that authority. We're seated with Christ. Colossians 3, verse 1 to 3 says this. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden in Christ in God. So my life is now, I died when I become a Christian. And I'm now living in Christ in God. And he's at the right hand of the Father. He's there. So Jesus came a little lower than the angels, and now he's gone higher than the angels. He has the name that is above all names. Yes, we're on the same page there. King of kings, Lord of lords. The next time he comes to earth, he'll speak and he'll slay thousands of people by the word of his mouth. He can just look. I need to put this one. In Job, it talks about the devil, because I mentioned this earlier, standing before God. Before the cross, the devil could go into heaven and accuse people. But after Jesus died on that cross, was buried and resurrected according to the scriptures, that place of authority that the devil even had a toehold was taken away. Because he can no longer accuse you before God. Because Jesus is standing there going, they're under the blood. They're under the blood. Since we have been raised with Christ, you become a Christian, you're raised with Christ. We've got the authority of God. All authority has been given to me, said Jesus. Now, therefore, go and go make disciples of all creation. 1 John 4:16 says this, and that we know and believe the love of God as, I've got to get this right now, and we have known and believed the love of God as for us. God is love, and he is able. He abides in love and abides in God.
who abides in love, abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected amongst us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment. See, there's no judgment coming our way now. It's forgiven. We've been cleansed from it. We've been washed from it. That's what communion is about. We're acknowledging all Jesus has done. But then he says, because as he is, talking about Jesus, as he is, so are we in this world. So what's Jesus like now? What's Jesus like now? He's a pretty cool dude, with respect. What he says goes. He's not going, you know, can Michael go out and get me something? Michael's already gone. The devil didn't approach him. The devil and Jesus are not equal and opposite. So it's not yin and yang. It's God Almighty versus just whatever that might be. It's like, it's not even like me arm wrestling Olive. It doesn't even compare. But Jesus sat there and wearing Christ as he is, so are we in this world. Guys, our battle, our weapons is the word of God and prayer. But our battle is not against flesh and blood. Sometimes it can be. But if you fight the battle in your own mind, then it won't work out in the flesh. But it's not against your neighbours. Guys, if you're having real trouble with your neighbours, then take it before God. You don't have to fight them. Don't ask God to kill them. God loves them. Ask God to save them and then send them to another church if you don't get on with them. Some people wouldn't want the neighbours in the church. But the truth is, our weapons is the word of God. And do you know, when you speak the word of God, it is as powerful as when Jesus speaks the word of God. You don't look too convinced. If we're in him and he's in us, when we speak the word of God, we don't see what's happening in the spiritual realm. But those in the spiritual realm see us. And when you stand in faith, they know about it. Faith to us is not tangible. It's not, you can't see it. I can't see somebody here with great shield and little shield. But in the realm beyond, they can see it. They know the men and women of God. We're washed in the blood. That looks a mess on the other side. We're perfected in Christ. We've got the shield. And when we speak the word of God, demons flee. The devil trembles. When you sincerely get to prayer and pray according to the word of God, it sets all else shaking. Because who are you? Well, I'm in Christ. I'm a nobody, but I am in Christ. And I'm seated in the heavenlies. And I'm a voice for Jesus. Like the Holy Spirit who just powers it out across the name. When God created the heavens and earth, it said in Genesis 1, and then it said the Holy Spirit were ready. God had an idea. Jesus proclaimed the Holy Spirit engaged. God had this idea about light. So Jesus says, light be, and light was. It just was. It wasn't like, are we sure? Is it God's will? God spoke, and it was. And when we speak the word of God, it is. Amen. And we're just going to see it work through our lives sometimes. We've got to take steps of faith. We've got to stand on the word of God. See, when the Bible says, therefore there is now no condemnation, I believe that. So when the devil says, who do you think you are? I said, who do you think you are? Because I'm not condemned anymore. And he is. I mean, sometimes you can get a good head kicking for saying stuff like that. It just comes back at you. But I'm not under condemnation, but he is. So when you pray words of the word, pray the word of God. And if you're going to engage in spiritual warfare, you need to know the word of God. I'm not saying we shouldn't, because there's times we need to. But ultimately, you can stand on the authority of God and say to God, this is the best prayer ever. This is my prayer. Lord, I'm just leaving that with you. That's your problem. Because I can't do anything about it. There's so much I cannot do. I've learnt this. Number one, admit it's my problem. And if it's my problem, I can do something about me. But if it's your problem, I can't do something about that. I can encourage you. I can try and work with you. But unless you're willing to change, I can't do anything. So a situation in my own life, it's my problem. I'll deal with it. But then I said, God, deal with it in my life. Outside that, I ask God to deal with you.
help you, sort you out. There's no point sometimes engaging with God and saying, God, I want you to heal this person. And God sometimes says to us, but I've told you to go heal that person. And see the difference. There's no way in the Bible does it say, call a prayer meeting for a healing. It says, go out and heal the sick. However, when Peter's in the prison and they couldn't do anything about that, they called a prayer meeting to release Peter. And God responded. But you can see their level of faith, can't you? Because he turns up and they're going, no chance. But God honoured them anyway. So now I've upset everybody concerning your prayer life. I'm not. I do know that there's some good materials around. There's some called A Better Way to Pray. Now, Ruth, have you got that book or CDs? Ruth's got them called A Better Way to Pray. Don't say it's the only way to pray, but it's called The Better Way to Pray. And it's quite engaging, and it just opens you up. But sometimes we need to take authority where we have authority. Over my body, I have authority. Over my life, I've got some authority. When Joe gives it to me. When it comes to cooking, if I'm cooking, I've got total authority. If I'm not cooking, I have no authority. But outside of my life, I need to go to God about stuff. See, I can't stand up on Norland Moor, shout over the demons over this town, scream and shout. I don't know if it'll do any good, but what I can do is go to prayer and fasting with God and ask God, God, do you love these people? Do you care for these people? Lord, let your spirit flow across this town. Lord, touch the people. Instead of saying, I bind and loose the devils over this town, I just go, let's just see God. God, just move. Because when Jesus turned up in a town, he didn't send in a prayer team first to clear the heavenlies. Even though it's not a bad thing sometimes. But he did go in and just raise the dead. And that set every demon going, didn't it? He healed somebody, proclaimed the word of God. And they got everything, riots were going on. Because it's different forms of battle. He didn't hate people. Jesus doesn't hate anybody. In fact, the only reason why some evil people, why do good people die sometimes? Well, other question is, why do bad people seem to live a long time? I believe it's because God's given them another chance. And that doesn't compute in our minds. But God loves the world so much, including the evil people. And he wants to give them a chance. Because when judgment day comes for every one of us, for us we're okay, but to them it's an eternal absence from God. And that's why we can't go around hating people. We've got to try and reach out to people. So start by thinking of five people. Ask God to show you five people that you can write on a list. Amen.